Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is my guest, Dr. Neil Bauman. I presume I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Perfect.
All right. And why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? Give me a little bit of background and a lot of what we're talking about today.
Sure. I am hard of hearing. I've been hard of hearing all my life. And about 25 years ago, I got started basically really studying intensively hearing loss and all the accompanying things that happen to it. And I also have tinnitus, which you can pronounce as tinnitus or tinnitus. Either way is correct. I say tinnitus, which is a ringing, roaring, humming, hissing, buzzing sound in your ears.
I have the ringing part of that.
Good. So, you know, so that's tinnitus. And then, as I say, about 25 years ago, I got on the internet and I joined an online group. And we were talking about hearing loss. This was a hearing loss group. And I heard somebody talking about, they said, I've got musical tinnitus. And I wondered, what the heck is musical tinnitus? So I asked them questions and so on, and people chimed in. And so I wrote an article about it. I put it on my website. Mm-hmm. And then more people and more people and more people kept chiming in. So eventually I put out this book on the subject called Phantom Voices, Ethereal Music, and Other Spooky Sounds. And of course, that got me a lot more people wanting to know. And so I wrote an article and put it on the website. And I now have over 1,000 articles on my website. And the upshot was, I coined the name musical ear syndrome, which is what we would call these sounds that are not tinnitus sounds, but they are phantom sounds. But they are not psychiatric phantom sounds. So in other words, if a person has musical ear syndrome, they are not schizophrenic. They do not have a mental illness. It's just their auditory system not working quite right at taking, let's basically say memories out of the memory circuits in your brain and putting them in your auditory circuits. And so you think you're hearing them from your ears, but they're actually phantom in the sense that there's no real sound.
All
right. Well, that worked fine. And there was a lot of people that have musical ear syndrome, or I abbreviated to MES, are hard of hearing. And it seemed that hearing loss made it worse, more common, and so on. But then there was people started asking me, they said, I don't have hearing loss, and I hear these phantom sounds. Mm-hmm. And what's going on? And so I, in the book, I didn't know what they were at the time, and I just broke it down as a separate class of sounds for people that had normal hearing or near normal hearing. And then since then, back in 2015, I wrote an article, I put it on the website as well, called Apophenia, Audiopareidolia, and Musical Ear Syndrome. And in it, I enunciated what these, quote, phantom sounds were for people that had normal hearing. And first off, I found out they weren't phantom sounds at all. They're real sounds. Musical Ear Syndrome sounds are always phantom sounds. So I call it a subgroup of phantom voices or the musical ear syndrome, but technically it's not, but because everybody got them all lumped together to start with, I just leave it there, but knowing that's really two different conditions. So I wrote this article, and of course, I was just looking at it today, and if I wanted to write out the article, which is 6 pages long, and all the comments below it, it'll take 178 pages. Enormous numbers of people have been interested in this and wondering, what have I got am I crazy, and all the rest of it. And the big thing is, no, you're not crazy. It's a normal thing.
Yeah, that was one of my first questions is it, some people think it's a form of psychosis, or what would be the point of saying it being psychosis or being natural? What would be the difference?
Well, because it's not well known. So if you go to a doctor and say, I'm hearing voices, what does he think? Right away, he thinks you're crazy. You've got a mental illness, but you may have musical ear syndrome. You may have audio pareidolia. You may have something else, who knows? Mm-hmm. So the way I define it, musical ear syndrome and audio pareidolia are perfectly natural things, particularly audio pareidolia. Because it's really interesting when you look at it. What happens is you hear one sound. Usually it's a reasonably constant sound. It could be things like, most common is a fan running. It could be a motor running. It's just something that's there sort of constantly. And what your brain does, it wants to make sense out of everything. And so your brain does what's called pattern recognition. Mm-hmm. And if you think back to when you were born, your brain knows nothing. It's sort of like a sheet of white paper, and there's nothing printed on it yet. And you hear your parents and everybody else, you hear sounds. And your brain is designed to make sense of sounds. So it starts storing, it notices that some things are patterns, and your parents keep saying the same thing, and you recognize the pattern, and you learn its meaning. And so your brain stores all these patterns. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Say you're around a fan, and let's say the fan is a little eccentric. The ball bearings in the are not perfectly round. And so there's a little bit of off-kilter sound. It's not an absolutely smooth fan sound. It's almost got a little bit of rhythm to it. Well, your brain senses that rhythm and says, oh, we've got to make sense of this. This is something. So it tries to match the pattern to everything it's got in its brain already. Mm-hmm. And it finds the closest match. Now, like when you said my name, Neil Bauman, you know, close match, my brain recognized it instantly, that's it. But the fan sound, instead of saying, well, that's a fan sound, because it's a little eccentric, and so there's this little rhythm, it looks through it, it's catalog of everything it's got in the brain, and defines what it thinks is the closest. Now, the closest sound that it matches to may be totally out in left field, absolutely, totally unrelated. So you're listening to this fan trying to go to sleep, and it starts playing music. Or maybe you hear what sounds like an announcer at a ball game. Or maybe you hear what sounds like people cheering or whatever. And you think, am I going crazy? What's wrong? All that's happened is your brain has tried to find the closest pattern match. And then when it finds one, it's sort of like it just like putting a disk in your computer. You put it in and you're forcing the computer now to accept what's on that disk. And so the pattern match says, the fan sound is no longer going to be fan sound. It's going to be music or ball game. We'll just call it ball game sounds. And so from now on, well, as long as the fan's running, you hear ball game and you think you're crazy. Now, the interesting thing about audio pareidolia is that it is always an illusion. It's sort of like a magician. He does sleight of hand and you're watching one hand, but he's really doing something with the other hand that makes everything seem magical. And so you think, well, there's magic involved, but it's not. There's a perfectly normal explanation for it. And with audio pareidolia, it's your brain matched it to the wrong things. It just thought that sounded like whatever, the ball game, and lets you hear that. Now, we both might be sitting in the same room, and where the fan is, and let's assume we can both hear it. I can't hear fans, so it never happens to me. Mm-hmm. Not with fans anyway. But what happens is maybe you start hearing the ball game and you say to me, can't you hear the ball game? You know, and then, and I say, no. And you go over and you say, it's coming out of the fan. The fan's talking to me. And it's not, it's just your brain matched that pattern. Now, in rare occasions, there's times when two family members will be watching or in the same room, and they both hear the same fan sound, and they're both of their brains interpret it the same way as pattern matching to the ball game, as opposed to crowd screaming or music or whatever. I don't know why that happens, but some people want to find this perfectly natural way that your brain works. And they say, well, it's paranormal, or or doctors will say it's psychiatric. Well, it's not psychiatric and it's not paranormal. It's strictly an illusion. Your brain hears, typically, as I say, a constant background sound, forces a pattern match to something else, and you hear that. Now, you don't necessarily hear it all the time. Might depend on whether you're tired or whether you're upset or stressed or whatever, as to whether it's more common or not. You turn it off, it instantly goes away. So the nice thing about telling it from all the other things, if you turn a fan off and you've got schizophrenia, it's not going to go away just because you turned a fan off. If you've got musical ear syndrome, it won't go away when you turn the fan off. You turn your fan off and the ball game you're hearing goes away instantly, and you turn the fan on and it comes back, you know you've got audio pareidolia. It's not a psychiatric thing. It's totally, call it non-psychiatric. It's totally normal, because that's the way God made our brains, to always pattern match and always be watching for patterns. Now, one of the things people can do, if they hear that, I tell them, try a different fan, because people say, well, it's hot, I have to have a fan on, or I can't sleep without a fan. I say, dump the fan, get another fan, try it out. Maybe it doesn't have that same eccentric pattern, and all you'll hear is fan noise, which would be perfectly right. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what audio pareidolia is.
All right. Yeah, because I had a friend which brought me to do some research on this topic. He swore up and down that he heard a conversation going on between two people in his aquarium that he has. There's a constant running noise, you know, and that led me to the development of this topic for the show.
And that aquarium noise was the pump on the aquarium, I assume, which is a little motor. And it was giving this background sound, and his brain locked onto it and said, aha, I hear a pattern on that. And what kind of sound did he think he was hearing? Was this music or?
He swore up and down that he heard somebody talking. He heard a man talking.
And typically, when you hear the sounds, I've heard from hundreds of people, and they will tell me, I know it's a person talking. I can't understand quite what they're saying. Some people say, I know it's, and they will name a radio personality or a TV personality, a sportscaster. They say, I know it's so-and-so. Sounds like his voice, and he's narrating the game. I can't understand what he says. It's almost like it's in another room. So you know it's speech, but what they're saying, you don't know. Sometimes you can understand words. And if there is speech, typically, or music, it's usually repeated over and over again, the same thing. So it might be one line repeated endlessly. And when you hear that, you know right away, well, it can't be a real radio or TV station, because nobody ever repeats one line endlessly.
Okay.
There's another interesting thing I might like to bring up. And that is people tell me that they can hear radios, you know, through their teeth fillings.
I've heard that theory in the past.
Yeah. Well, that has been around since the early days of radio. In fact, I've heard of some from 1921 when radios were just getting started. So it's rather interesting. But I did extensive research and I tried to find even one single instance of proven that somebody heard radio broadcasts through their teeth. Mm-hmm. And there's not a single one. And I was just reading some of the comments below my article on the audio pareidolia. And there was another researcher, and he asked me where I got the information on this one case. And he said he'd been searching everywhere and he couldn't authenticate a single case. So I told him where it was, and it was a Vietnam vet that had some shrapnel sticking right out through his skull. And for some reason, they couldn't remove it. And he could hear the local radio station, which was quite loud. And I've told people time after time, if you think you're hearing a radio through your teeth, you're not. You've got musical ear syndrome. But the way you can prove it is to get a buddy to go along and tune to the radio station that you think you're listening to, put earphones on so you can't hear it yourself, and you start reciting what's you're hearing on your radio station, and he listens, and if it's exactly word for word and precisely at the same time, you know, not an hour later, but right then, that same time, second for second, you say everything the same, I'll believe it. But there's one Vietnam vet that's been able to do that. Wow. So it's just not. And when you think of it, if a radio wave was supposed to, you could hear it through the metal fillings in your teeth, they say, well, the silver mercury amalgam would detect the radio wave. So you've got to convert it then to a sound wave. And then it's got to get sent to your brain. Guess where the sounds from your teeth go? They're going to a pain sensors in your brain. It's not to the auditory system. So it's not getting in the right place in the first place.
Right.
And so it doesn't work. But there is some really interesting things back about the year 2000 to about the year 2005. People that are hard of hearing started hearing radios through their hearing aids. And that was really true, because what happened, there was a defect in the chip that they used in those years for certain hearing aids, and it actually did detect loud local radio stations and let them hear it. But that's not the person themselves, that's the hearing aid that did it.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
So we don't have to worry about anybody when they say they're hearing a radio station through their teeth. We know it's wrong. That's a musical ear syndrome kind of sound.
Okay.
And what you see, we always try and make sense of what we're hearing. We don't want to think that we're crazy. And so we ascribe it to whatever seems reasonable, but it doesn't stand up to scientific investigation that a tooth filling could detect a radio wave, convert it and amplify it and send it to the auditory parts of your brain. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, because it needs a whole parameter of things to happen in order for you to hear sound from a radio wave. All right, my next question would be, I'm a paranormal investigator as well in Detroit. One of the things that a lot of investigators use is something called EVP, electronic voice phenomena. And now some of it is mostly static and whatnot and background noise, but there's one class that's particular that's, you know, unmistakable, and multiple people hear it when it's played back and it's not an actual person. You know, they don't know where the source came from for the ones that haven't been, you know, messed with or whatnot. Now, would that be a form of auditory pareidolia as well, or is that something else going on?
I would say it's totally something else. Now, are these sound waves that would actually strike your eardrums, or are they some other kind of transmission, let's call it?
It's actual sound waves from like a recording from, they have like a recorder set up and they ask questions to it, seeing if they can pick up something like a intelligent response. And they play it back. Sometimes it's muffled. Other times it's a Class A recording, but those are hard to find sometimes. And that's why I was wondering about that question.
Well, the thing is, audio pareidolia is always based on a real sound. And it's, as I've said, basically it's a constant or almost constant background sound. So this doesn't seem to make sense. I don't see how it relates. And it's just like you were talking about also infrasound. Now, infrasound is below 20 hertz. And we normally don't hear that. Now, remember, audio pareidolia is an illusion. You've got to have a real sound for the illusion to work. And your brain ascribes it to something different. And so if you can't hear the real sound, they can never have audio pareidolia because your brain can't have an illusion to something that's it doesn't even know is there.
So I
don't see that there's anything with audio pareidolia, anything to do with the paranormal or anything like that, or the occult. It's a physical, plain, natural phenomena, how your ears work. And to give you an example of how it is, years ago, I was driving my old jalopy down the street. It was an old pickup truck. And didn't have any air conditioning in it. So I'd have the window open, wide open in the summer. And I had to make a trip of about 25 miles to a meeting I used to go to. And so I'd have the window open to stay cool. And I would be listening to my radio. And I used to listen to classical music. There's a classical music station. And of course, with my poor hearing, I got the volume wide open. And so I've got the radio sound. And there's the road noise and the tire noise and the wind noise, all of that. And I could drive for 10 or 15 miles and then turn off the radio. And I still heard the radio for the next 10 miles because all the wind noise, tire noise, and so on, my brain just modulated it and let me hear music. Now, the music no longer was a known piece. It was musical, but not music, if you want to say it that way. So I could hear, you know, it's like orchestral music, not playing any real piece, but it sounded good to me. I mean, with my poor ears, hey, it sounded great. So I could have music without just the road noise doing it. And I've noticed that a number of other people have the same experience, road noise, tire noise. You can also get it just sitting in a plane, the drone of the jets. After a while, you can do it. And that's been done for years and years. There's one guy, this was back in the Second World War. So, I mean, we're talking a long time ago. And he used to take the mail and run across the Pacific when with the Army. They would be flying the mail out from the West Coast down to the South Pacific Islands, and he had to stay with his mail. So he had nothing to do on the plane, so he'd lay in the back there, lay on the mail sacks, and the drone of the engines would switch to music. And he'd listen to all this music all the way over, and if he had enough mail sacks, he could just fall asleep on them.
Right.
But you see, this has been around for a long time. It's just that nowadays we have more, how do I say it, maybe electronic and motors and everything else that put out background sounds. So you got something to listen to. So that is basically what audio pareidolia is.
All right. Yeah, because I've talked to a few friends, and again, once again, that made me curious about the subject, and I wanted to expand on it today the best way that I could, and that's how I came across your article, and I wanted to get in touch with you so we could discuss it. Okay, now my next question would be, if, say, a paranormal investigator is outside, you know, out in the woods or whatnot, or inside of a building, if there's like, say, like the wind blowing strong or something like that, like a constant, even minor wind, it could cause this phenomena.
I really don't think so. I mean, what kind of sound is there going to be? Is the real sound that is going to become the illusionary sound? If the person, maybe we should switch over and talk a little bit about musical ear syndrome, and because that one would be strictly internal. There's no external sound.
Okay.
And so a person could think they're hearing something, and just to show you, and people have scared themselves silly with both of these kinds of sounds, ascribing it to something bad or thinking they're going crazy. And all it was, it's just the way your brain normally works. So, for example, you could get a person that hears a good one is the neighbors are playing their music at 2 a.m. and you go over and you can't sleep because you got all this racket. And so you go and you knock on their door and you find that the neighbors were sound asleep and there was no sound in their house. But you knew they were playing that racket. Or if it's in an apartment, you pound on the wall and you say, cut out that racket. And people have done that. They've called the cops on their neighbors. They've called the homeowners association, trying to get it resolved. And it's all in their head, in the good sense. They're not mentally ill. It's that their brains are hearing auditory things, putting memories into their auditory circuits, and they hear it. Now, the nasty thing about this, or the insidious thing, is that the sounds seem to have directionality. Now, sometimes you can just hear a sound inside your head, like your tinnitus, you can hear it inside your head. Sometimes you hear it in one ear, sometimes in the other, sometimes in both. So when it becomes musical ear syndrome, which is very closely related to tinnitus, a lot of times it has directionality. So if you hear the sound coming through the wall in your bedroom, and that's the common wall for your apartment, you know it has to be the neighbors. Who else would it be? Or you hear it coming up through the floor, you know it's that guy down below or the person above you. And because it's so real, and because two of your five senses have told you one thing, and they both lied to you, it's hard to believe that it isn't real. And you can hear, sometimes you will hear those big sounds that sound like music, sound like voices. Other times, it's absolutely crystal clear. And so you can't believe that it's not true.
Correct.
And so when you realize that, now some people, they have done all different kinds of things to try and get rid of it. I mean, one man, he knew that his landlady, now you see, I'll put the words new in quotes. As far as he was concerned, this is real. This is what happened. He lived in an upstairs apartment. His landlady lived right below him. And she knew, or he knew, that she wanted him to go. She was trying to drive him out. So every night, he used to go to bed at 11 o'clock. So every night at 11 o'clock, he knew that she had this device that she fastened to her ceiling that would shake his floor and vibrate it. And every night he would hear this music and he'd feel his bed shaking. And so he knew it was her. And so he would go downstairs and he'd pound on her door, you know, you stop that and all the rest of it.
Wow.
And it was all in his head. And he couldn't believe But it was, you see, there was nothing paranormal about it. It was his belief, because he came up with the logical conclusion. What else would shake his bed? She must have had a machine that she put on it. But it just happened that when he take his hearing aids off at night, and he went to bed at 11 o'clock every night, and when he laid down, everything was quiet. Mm-hmm. And that's when he perceived this sound, and he also felt the room shaking. Now, I have felt the same thing a lot of times, but in my case, like I could be sitting in my house, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting in my chair, and I could feel the chair vibrating because the floor's vibrating, because I can feel, I think I'm hearing the rumble of a bulldozer outside. And I've been around enough bulldozers and earth movers and so on to know that when they go by, you know, a bulldozer especially, it just shakes the ground, and you feel it shaking and you hear the rumble. Mm-hmm. So my brain knows that when I hear a rumble, it shakes the ground for me.
Yeah.
And it's totally phantom. The same can be in the car. You sit in the parking lot waiting for the wife, and if I've got the motor on, you feel, you know, the little bit of vibration. If you, new cars are not quite so much as the older ones, but you can feel the vibration. So I could be sitting in the car, and maybe there's a bit of a wind, and I got the motor off, and it could be shaking the car a little bit, and my brain goes along and puts the sound of the motor. And so I feel my motor running. I can hear it, and I can feel it vibrating the car. And the truth of the matter is, guess where the keys are? They're in my hand, not even in the ignition. The tach reads zero. And that is just my brain fooling me, because it knows if the motor's running, the car should be vibrating. So I feel it.
Oh, okay.
And yet I know it's totally phantom.
And that brings me to another thing that happens nowadays concerning like cell phones and whatnot in people's pockets. From time to time, I know I've experienced it myself, is people feel like when you have your phone on vibrate or silence, it'll buzz. But sometimes when you feel it in your leg and you go to answer it, nothing is there. Like nobody called you or anything. Would that be something similar to what you just described?
If you know that it did not vibrate, like I've got my phone on my belt right now, it's always in airplane mode. So it shouldn't. And so I shouldn't be getting anything. And I feel it vibrate. And if I can get it out of the case and hold it up fast, and then I find it's trying to tell me, you went along, and it's just an internal message generated saying, you've only used your phone so many minutes a day for the last week. What's going on? Aren't you going to use it more? You know, and I get a message like that. Well, I didn't know that my phone would even generate such things. Mm-hmm. But I do feel it. So in that case, it is a real thing. The other way is if you are anxious, for example, you are expecting a call and you've got it on vibrate. So you're ready for it, and your brain cooperates and lets you feel the vibration, but it wasn't really there. It was due to your anxiety. And that's what happens when people also, they hear the phone ring when they're in the bathroom. This is the days of landline phones, so you didn't have a phone in the bathroom. You're getting in the shower and the phone rings. Right. You don't want to have to jump out of the shower, grab a towel and run over to grab the phone. But it's because you're anxious, or you hear the doorbell ring, or you hear somebody call your name. And that is all because of that. It's not that it's real. It's that the anxiety lets your brain create a phantom thing. And there's one hard of hearing guy, and he was quite hard of hearing, and he had a hearing ear dog. So when the phone kept ringing when he was in the shower, he got smart, and he brought his dog into the bathroom with him. And when the phone rang, if the dog didn't alert him to tell him that the phone's ringing, he knew it was just phantom. It was all in his head. And so when he had his dog there, the phone quit ringing because he wasn't worried about missing it.
Okay.
So our brains can make up things that we weren't expecting at all. And you see, you don't want to ascribe that to paranormal occurrences when it was just your own anxiety in your brain playing on it.
Correct.
And so if you have a way of knowing, like nowadays with a cell phone, just take your cell phone in your in the bathroom with you, and you can check right away, is it ringing or not? And because you're not anxious about missing the call, because you know you can hear it, you don't get that.
Okay. All right. Now, I also have a neighbor. He has a form of MS. He's not like wheelchair bound or anything like that, but he still has a form of it. And he told me the other day that when he's out in the yard sometimes or whatnot, he hears music. Can a condition like MS cause that, or is it just natural, as we've been talking about?
Well, not knowing anything about him, I'd have to ask a lot of questions to know, but let's assume that the motor on his wheelchair or something, he's hearing that. He could have audio pareidolia. If he has hearing loss, he could be having a musical ear syndrome experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, I have to ask questions to find out, because a lot of people do ask me, how do I tell whether this is real or whether it's phantom? Mm-hmm. And I say, if it's a real sound, like if you don't know if it's the neighbors really playing music or not, put your fingers in your ears, put the pillow over your ears or whatever. If the sound disappears or drops in volume, then you know it was a real thing. If it makes no difference, then you know it's all in your head. It's a phantom thing.
Okay,
so that's one way. And then if you suspect it's audio pareidolia, what you do is listen carefully and find whatever's running. You might have the air conditioner on. If you have central air, you got to go turn the furnace off. And as soon as you do that, if it disappears, turn the furnace back on, it comes back, you know, that's audio pareidolia. And your brain just fooling you. So there's easy ways to do that. And sometimes, it's sort of humorous. One lady, she heard her TV on. Well, so she gets out, she was in bed, and so she gets out and goes in the living room to find her TV, and it's not on, but she keeps hearing it. She unplugged the thing. She still heard it. So she got the scissors and cut the plug off, and that stopped it. Somehow she convinced her brain that we don't do that anymore. I've only ever heard of one person doing that, but sometimes people do certain things that get rid of it. Sometimes it's just reading my article or book on the subject, and then they realize this is not a, I'm not a nutcase, I don't have a dreadful brain tumor, I'm not going to die, and on and on, and they just calm right down, and as they calm down, their phantom sounds just fade away.
Oh, okay.
But some people, they don't, they stay, and it's amazing how many people say that they love their audio pareidolia sounds. I mean, they're listening to nice music and while they're going to sleep, so why would they worry about it? Let the fan run. Other people, of course, can't stand it. And like one lady told me, her music that she heard was military marching music, and she didn't like military music at all. And so it was driving her buggy. But if she liked it, like other people say, well, then you just listen to it. It doesn't have to be bad.
True. I guess, but it just depends on the person.
It does. And how they perceive it. Because sometimes, I mean, some people hear, let's call it just bad stuff. It just drives some buggy. One of the things that happens is if everything is repeated endlessly, and if you're hearing a song, and whether it's musical ear syndrome, audio pareidolia, and it plays the whole song start to finish, including chorus and all the rest of it, that's one thing. But with musical ear syndrome, sometimes it starts shortening it down. So let's say it takes off a line and then takes another line and another line. Now you've only got one line left in the song, and then it starts shortening it down until you've only got one bar of, say, three notes. And if it plays those three notes endlessly, that's enough to drive anybody buggy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you don't want that. But as long as it's playing the whole song, then it's nice. It can be nice. Although even the same song played endlessly gets tiring.
True. Now that brings up another question. Do you know of anybody that's actually written songs because of that?
Or heard of any? Yeah, I've heard of people. They write it down. One guy, it's one of the comments under the article on Audio Pareidolia. And he said, I'm a musician and I write them down sometimes. He says, some of them are not very good, but other ones are quite good. And another musician said, I get one or two songs a week from my Audio Pareidolia.
That's one way to put it to good use.
Yeah, so they just have to listen to it, and if they write it down, they. So some people do that. Now, some people, even musicians, people keep asking me, did Mozart? Well, it wasn't Mozart that wrote music from his what he heard. It was Schumann, Robert Schumann, I think. And he actually wrote sort of a spooky one. It'd be good for now. It was, I can't remember what it was called. It was theme woo. And then he had the year after it, 1874 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been going on for many, many years. It's okay. Just that people didn't normally talk about it. You see, a lot of people don't want to talk about these things because they think everybody's going to think they're crazy.
Yeah, when everybody actually has the same thing happening themselves from time to time.
Yeah. But if you know what's happening, then you can sit back and enjoy it. You don't have to worry because it's nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Even if it does degenerate to three notes in a bar, repeated endlessly, at least you know what's happening. It's not because you got a brain tumor or something. But some of these things can happen with musical ear syndrome. For example, if you had an infection in your brain, like say Lyme disease, and if you've got a little pocket of Lyme disease in your brain somewhere that the doxycycline or whatever they gave you didn't knock out or came back, then you could start hearing these strange things. And when you go to the doc and get more doxycycline, when it kills it, that goes away. So there is some people that actually do have problems with a brain tumor or a pocket of infection, or what doctors would call a lesion on your brain somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if you get that dealt with, then it goes. But I have talked to, over 2,000 people that have musical ear syndrome and or audio pareidolia, well over 2,000 people. And I can't even think of even five that had anything wrong with their brain. So it's quite rare. So I tell people, the chance that there's anything wrong with your brain in that sense, that's a physical problem, is very slim. It's just the way your brain is working with your musical ear syndrome. And you see, musical ear syndrome is technically a non-psychiatric auditory hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
And if I told you that I'm hearing non-psychiatric auditory hallucinations, if you're the average person, what do you hear? You hear me say the word psychiatric and hallucinations, and you think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I coined the term musical ear syndrome, so that there was nothing that would give a clue that it was wrong. And so if I say I've got musical ear syndrome, what's your response? You're going to say, what's that? Or you might think that I've got an ear for music or perfect pitch or something. The first thing isn't that you think is not, I'm crazy. And I wanted something that would be that way. So it was just neutral. So nobody worried about it. And that way they were free to talk about it. And since I coined that term, now there's umpteen thousand web pages that talk about musical ear syndrome.
Oh, okay. So at least it's helping people out.
Yeah, now we can talk about it. It's not that thing that we have to keep hush hush.
Yeah, and people don't feel as bad when it's happening to them, and they can realize that more it's happening to more people as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at just at the audio pareidolia article that I wrote that's on the website with those 178 pages of comments and my replies to them, you'll see how many people woke up in the middle of the night and it scared them. Mm-hmm. And they got on the internet and either that night right then or next morning, and they searched in Google for music and fans or something. And they find my article and they read it, and then they thank me and they say, you know, I'm so thankful. I understand now what's going on. Because a lot of them, they go to their doctors and the doctors don't have a clue.
Definitely. Would you happen to have that page where that article is located at in case people want to read that?
Well, the easiest way to find it, either one of them, is just to go to my website, which is hearinglosshelp.com, all one word, HearingLossHelp.com. And you'll see a search box in the upper right corner of my website, not the search box for Google, but the one for mine. And just type in there the word musical ear syndrome or audio pareidolia. And it'll come up with several articles. And the main one for audio pareidolia is called Apophenia, Audio Pareidolia, and Musical Ear Syndrome. And click on that one and you'll have it. And the other one called The Phantom Voices, Ethereal Music and Other Spooky Sounds Many Hard of Hearing People Secretly Experience. So if you see that one, you've got it.
All right.
And if you want to read in the book, it's called Phantom Voices, Ethereal Music, and Other Spooky Sounds. And you can get that off the website. Just click on the shop button and you'll see that book there. There's also a book on tinnitus, if you have tinnitus, and lots of other good books too that I've written. But
all right. Will that be available on Amazon as well?
All of the books are available on Amazon, but I have eBooks as well, exactly the same thing. They're in PDF format, so you can just download them onto your phone, your tablet, or whatever. They are not on Amazon. They're just on the website, but you save considerably on them because they don't have to be printed and there's no shipping involved. And one of the things that really hits you is the people over in Europe or Australia, and they want to buy one of my books. And some of these books are several hundred pages long. And the shipping now is $60 or $70. That's more than double the cost of the book just to get it. So I tell people, get the ebook. And then you can put it on your phone and on your tablet and on your computer. I don't care that you have it in three places. You paid for the book. And so if you want to show it to your doctor, you can have it on your phone. And wherever you go, you've got it.
All right. Yeah. Is there anything, any final words that you'd like to give to anybody, and any advice about the subject?
I would like to tell people, if you're hearing these strange things, read my articles on it and see if that's it, because you want to take the simplest solution first, the most obvious one. And then if that doesn't apply to you, a lot of people write me, and you'll notice in the comments, and they ask, I see mine is very similar to what everybody else has said, but I have something different. I'd like your idea on that. Or they might say, I've got totally different. What's your take on this? And you get, you know, if you get to somebody like me that knows something about it, then you don't go on the internet and go off half-cocked on all the wild theories some people put out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just want to be, you know, have a calm mind. You don't want to be worried about these things when it's nothing esoteric and it's nothing occult. It's nothing paranormal. It's nothing to be worried about.
Well, everyone, that was my interview with Dr. Neil Bauman. If you'd like to know more, just go visit his website, as well as look up his books and all the other things that he talked about. I hope this can help somebody out there, and I have definitely heard this phenomenon myself. So, take care, everybody. Hope you enjoy your day.